Charles Spurgeon, Part 18.
Oh, sirs, be not deceived, your sins and you must part or Jesus will have nothing to do with you. Do you think so badly of my Lord as to dream that he will pander to your passions by giving you liberty to live in sin and yet go to heaven? For shame! Has Christ come to play the lackey to your lusts and let you do the work of Satan and then receive the wages of the godly? Oh no, there must be a clean sweep of the false to make room for the true, as it is necessary to repair the waste of the body by the frequent meal, so we must repair the waste of the soul by feeding upon the book of God, or by listening to the preached word, or by the soul-fattening table of the ordinances. Without constant restoration we are not ready for the perpetual assaults of hell, or the stern afflictions of heaven, or even for the strifes within. Christ was not of the world, his life and his testimony were a constant protest against conformity with the world. You cannot grow in grace to any high degree while you are conformed to the world. The life of separation may be a path of sorrow, but it is the highway of safety, and though the separated life may cost you many pangs, and make every day a battle, yet it is a happy life after all. No joy can excel that of the soldier of Christ. Jesus reveals himself so graciously, and gives such sweet refreshment, that the warrior feels more calm and peace in his daily strife than others in their hours of rest. He has gone up beyond the reach of sneering Sadducees and accusing Pharisees. Would God that all my brothers and sisters would be cheered by this dear word, and take it home to themselves with a believing repentance and a holy hatred of sin. Your Lord has set his foot on the necks of your enemies, you wage war with vanquished foes. What encouragement this glorious ascension of Christ should give to every tried believer! Brethren, we were captives once, captives to tyrants, who wrought us woe, and would soon have wrought us death. We were captives to sin, captives to Satan, and therefore captives under spiritual death. We were captives under diverse lusts and imaginations of our own hearts, captives to error, captives to deceit. But the Lord Jesus Christ has led captivity captive. How often we groan because the battle does not go as we would desire it. Yet there is no reason for dismay. God is in no hurry as we are. To conquer the world for Christ we need nothing but the Holy Spirit, and in the hour of his personal victory he secured us this boon. If the Holy Spirit be but given, we have in him all the weapons of our holy war. But observe, according to Paul, these gifts which our Lord gave are embodied in men, for the Holy Spirit comes upon men whom he has chosen, and works through them according to his good pleasure. One minister may be better for you than another, but another may be better for somebody else than the one you prefer. The least gifted may be essential to a certain class of mind, therefore, despise no one. Use all God's servants as you are able to profit by them. Hear them prayerfully, not for the indulgence of your curiosity, nor for the pleasing of your ear with rhetoric, but that you, through the word of God, may feel his Spirit working in our hearts all the purpose of his will. When a thing is spoken of as being exceedingly good, it is often connected with angels. Men did eat angels' food. It is supposed that everything with regard to them is of superior order and of refined quality. I suppose that a spirit that is not cumbered with flesh and blood, as we are, must be delivered from much that hampers and beclouds. Oftentimes a clear judgment is dimmed by a headache, or an attack of indigestion. Anything that affects the body drags down the mind. But these angelic beings are delivered from such weakness, and they are clothed with a glory of strength, and beauty, and power. However excellent the fallen angels may once have been, they have now become potent only for mischief. Their wisdom has curdled into cunning, and their strength has soured into a vicious force, so that no man may say within himself, I am a clear thinker, therefore I shall never become a blaspheming infidel, or, I am gifted in prayer, therefore I shall never become a blasphemer. You know not what you may become. There is a great difference between gift in prayer and grace in prayer. Gift will breed pride, and pride will ensure destruction. It is only grace that can preserve unto eternal glory. He that reckons that he is past temptation is already entangled in its net. We must never presume. The powers of darkness make their direst onset upon the foremost soldiers of the cross, hoping to overthrow the standard-bearers, and create confusion throughout the camp. Apart from the perpetual miracle of God's grace, nothing can keep us from declension, apostasy, and spiritual death. Oh, but I spend my time, one may say I spend my time wholly in the service of God. I go from door to door seeking the lost souls of men, as a city missionary, or I conduct a large class in the school, and I have brought many to the Savior. All this is good, but if thou trustest in it for thy standing before God, it will certainly fail thee. He that is the most sure is the most insecure, but he that cries, Hold thou me up, shall be made to stand. Be this our confession, O Lord, I know that I shall become utterly vile except thy sovereign grace prevent. In humility let us cast ourselves upon the mighty grace of God, and we shall be kept. Let the flatterers of today preach what they may, the Lord will punish men who live and die in their sins. Angels must, surely, be more missed than men, their downfall made a great gap in heaven. We go there to fill the space, and to repair the breach which was made when they were cast down from glory. Let us do angels' work. Come, brothers and sisters, let us glow with such a fire of devotion as might have burned in an augur's heart.